I was the yearbook photographer. We had to take a lot of pictures of every sport and every club. We took group shots of choirs and teams, but the most difficult pictures, you know, the ones you really want to get, are the candidates, right? So, what do you think was the roughest thing to photograph candidly? Was it football at night under the lights? Not so much. Was it basketball with really slow film? Remember slow film? No. What I found the most difficult sport to photograph was wrestling. How do you take pictures of two guys grappling on the floor without getting too close or too personal to wrestlers in compromising positions? Right? Wrestling is intimate. Wrestling is personal. There's no hands-off wrestling. It's physical, biological, it's real, it's sweaty, it's painful. In our scripture lesson, Jacob is physically wrestling with God. We cannot explain the mystery of God in human form, wrestling as a human being with Jacob, but we can understand the reality of our own wrestling matches that mark the milestones of our lives. And Jacob is facing a consequence in his life. As a young man, he stole the birthright and the blessing which rightly belonged to his elder twin brother, Esau. Now, some of you may remember this old story. Jacob dressed up to fool his blind old father, and Father Isaac thinks he's blessing Esau, but instead Jacob the younger is blessed. And no surprise, Esau is enraged, threatening to kill Jacob. So Jacob runs for his life to live with his uncle Laban, a man who was even more of a swindler than Jacob. Good stuff, gripping stuff. This could be a soap opera, friends. A generation later now, in our text, Jacob wants to return home. He has two wives and many children, flocks, herds, servants, and field hands. He is trying to stop running. To do so, he has to face his brother Esau. Is he still angry? Will he kill Jacob's family? So Jacob sends gifts ahead of him to his brother, and then the messengers come back to say, Esau's coming, but he's coming with 400 men. Are you and I Jacob? Do we have situations where we have run away? Have we built an entire life far away from the mistakes of our past? Do we desire to make peace, to stop running and avoiding? Do we have situations as Christians where we are running away? Have we built an entire tradition of being a society, of being a church, which runs strategically away from our past mistakes? Or are we in the wrestling place with God? Now, I'm not a member of the White Privilege cohort in this Lenten season. This will be their fourth session today. But I can tell you that the James Cone book study on the cross and the lynching tree is genuinely, that class is genuinely doing some wrestling. Some of our theological heroes and church leaders of the past missed being the prophets we needed and wanted. Why couldn't Reinhold Niebuhr encourage his former church in Detroit to integrate? We're so disappointed. And we can be tempted to be judgmental, even self-righteous. Or we can even be forgiving by saying, he was doing the best he could. But if I say that, then I have to ask myself, am I doing the best I can? Are we doing the best we can? Yes or no, right? Where is the wrestling? Where is the wrestling in your life and in mine? Where are you and I camped alone with God, wrestling for our mental, physical, and spiritual lives? Where is the wrestling? Where is the wrestling in our community? Where are we engaged with the bodies and the physical realities of what our ancestors have done? Where are we engaged with the bodies and the physical realities of what we are not doing ourselves to bring reconciliation today? Now you see, Jacob, he came from a whole line of tricksters. His mother was the one who put him up to tricking his father. His uncle, you know, his mother's brother, his uncle tricked him into marrying the wrong sister, tried to cheat Jacob into getting less pay than promised. Now, many of you have heard me say, as we have been abused, we abuse others. And friends, that is true unless we really know our own life stories. Unless we wrestle with God and learn to face who we are, we will keep running away from the wrestling with God that brings healing. If we don't know who we are, we will abuse others as we have been abused. Now, I know you're going to point out in this story that Jacob limped away from this encounter. But look at the tenacity he developed in the struggle. Look at the blessing of God he received. Jacob was living in the shame and fear of what he did to his brother. He had to accept that in those moments as a young man, he was doing the best he could with a mother who was unwisely guiding him. But now, as an adult, he has to let go of the shame and become real. When we are real, we're not plastic, we're not perfect. We make mistakes in the bulletin and do things at the wrong time. The pastor comes in the pulpit at the wrong time. And then she trips into the pulpit. We're human. We're imperfect. And we're striving to be more like the perfect love of God. Not perfect people. We are each scarred and marked by the trials we have endured. And God has been with us in all of those trials. To be truly in the struggle of right and wrong, and yes, unjust suffering, we are touched and changed. Vulnerability is the key to being touched by God, touched by love, by hope, by compassion, by empathy, and yes, touched by our guilt, our shame, and our regret. Only when we are vulnerable and touched by the lives of one another can God be found in our struggle to be the humans we were created to be. Esau is waiting to meet Jacob. Jacob has accepted what he did, and he is not defining himself by that betrayal. But he is willing to accept whatever will transpire in that meeting to come, knowing that God is with him. Our whole country is wrestling with God. We're wrestling over the genocidal mistakes of our relationship to the bodies and lives of Native, Black, Latino, and Asian Americans. We have to wrestle with God in the present terror of mass shootings. We have to stay in the wrestling place of our own vulnerability and enduring the pain of deeper understanding, knowing and owning our culpability is part of the wrestling. Only when we recognize how we are a part of the problems in this world can we hang on, hold on, and get the blessing we need from God, and not before. Some wonder, Louise, we've been talking about white privilege for a long time. Are we going to be done soon? Are you going to get to the next theme pretty soon, Louise? I'm still seeing a lot of pain in the world. I don't know about you. We have to recognize. We have to be willing to feel the pain of our brothers and sisters. Because solidarity, yes, it's painful, but it is the blessing. We have to take the risk and meet the brothers and sisters whom we have harmed and whom we continue to harm. The education core team is continuing to work because we really believe in this congregation that your zip code should not determine what kind of education you get. It shouldn't be about that. But that means we're going to have to do some work. We're going to have to talk to people we don't know. We're going to have to hear some pain and some stories. That's rough. And I know that there are 13 tutors who are in it, up in Pontiac with the kids of all ages. It's not easy to be in solidarity with the pain. It's not easy to recognize our own place of being a part of the future. We have to decide. We have to be willing to receive the anger of hurt feelings. We can't be too fragile to hold on when the struggle gets real. Because at the end of the struggle, Jacob gets a new name. He is the same man. His past has not changed. But as C.S. Lewis says, you can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending. I don't know what you're wrestling with in your life. It may truly be a physical wrestling with a disease, a diagnosis, a challenge in your own body or in the body of someone you love. I don't know what your wrestling place is over things you've done in the past or things that have been done to you in the past. But I hope and pray you're in that wrestling place with God, that you're letting God wrestle with you to find that blessing in that intimate relationship. Together as a congregation, we are wrestling with how to be God's church in this day. We want the pictures of what we are doing today to demonstrate that we are in the struggle, that we are wrestling personally and as a congregation. And to do this work, to follow this calling from God, we need to support each other as we individually face the stories of our own lives and come away with the wisdom of knowing our own vulnerability. And then, hopefully, we will be less likely to abuse one another as we have been abused. God is wrestling with us in these partnerships. And friends, that's why we're singing this song, I Need You to Survive. On Friday, there was an announcement, and the pastor of Breakers Covenant Church, where Gerald is the musician, and we're going to be skipping off to, I think, when the service is done. Aramis Hines, the pastor there, has resigned as the chair of Drive. He's got some health concerns. And you don't want to know all the things that man is doing in ministry every day. Plus, he's married, has three kids, go to a couple different schools. So on Friday, we got some new bylaws. We heard Aramis bring his resignation. Apostle John Harvey, one of our Disciples of Christ brothers from Serenity Christian, he's the new chair. And Father Ted Parker is the vice chair now. Reverend Forsyth will continue as the treasurer, and I'm still the secretary. Some of you have asked me, why do you keep going on this drive thing? It seems like a lot of work, Louise. Yeah, it is. Changing the world is a lot of work. And what I love about this organization that we're a part of is it's about building relationships. It's about building relationships beyond the boundaries of cities and suburbs, of culture and color. It's beyond worship styles and music. I can't not be in a relationship with my brothers and sisters in the city. I can't not do it. And it is a wrestling match. I'm going to tell you honestly, at least 6 or 7 times a week I say, please God, I don't want to have to do drive anymore. One day he said, Louise, how many times have you done a funeral for somebody who's been shot in the head 5 times? I've never done a funeral for anybody who's been shot in the head, period, let alone 5 times. And I don't even want to know how many funerals Pastor Hines has done for someone who's died from a gunshot wound. Friends, family, parishioners, neighbors. We have to be in that struggle. And I believe God is in that struggle. And we got to be there. So I hope you heard 2 things today. One, each of us individually has a struggle that we face every day. But you are not alone in that struggle. God is with you in it. Number 2, we have a struggle in our country and in our community. And it's time to get past it. And friends, it's in Detroit. I can tell you, from personal experience, it's in Flint. I can tell you when I was superintendent, it's in Saginaw, where did I used to live? And it's in Bay City, my hometown. We have to decide to be in the struggle and to wrestle with it, no matter how hard it is. And if we do that, God promises to be with us and to bless us when we hold on. And what we need to hear from one another is, you know, the God with skin on. That's why we sing the song.